رحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي المقصرة المذنبة بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا قيل لهم اتبعوا ما أنزل الله قالوا بل نتبع ما ألفينا عليه آباءنا، أولو كان آباؤهم لا يعقلون شيئا ولا يهتدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
One of the habits that dominates human societies, all human societies, is the habit of recoursing and following their traditions and their customs. In every human society, in every culture, there is specific rules and regulations and customs and traditions, adat and taqalid. And people are attached to them. People follow them. Many people consider these customs and traditions, though they are tribal or cultural, but they are treated by many people as being sacred, as being very important and very decisive in their lives. Some of these customs and traditions, they conflict with reason, with aql. Some of them can conflict with faith, with religion, with the Holy Quran, with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But still, these customs and traditions are considered sacred, and it must be followed. Even in Muslim societies, even in religious communities, when it comes to the issues of family, raising children, marriage, divorce, trade, business, they follow their tribal rules. And this is not something new. This is something that has been going on for many centuries. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ Twice Allah mentions this in the Quran. One time in Surah Al-Baqarah and one time in Surah Luqman. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ When it is said to them, follow what God wants you to follow. The rules of God, their answer would be, قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا We rather follow the traditions and the customs of our forefathers. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاءَهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Even if their forefathers, they do not understand, they have no reason, and they are misguided. But they prefer them to what God is asking them to do. In Surah Luqman, فَلْنَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. They follow the tradition of their forefathers, even though their forefathers are following the path of Satan, the path of deviation. And this is why Muslims are always lingering behind, falling behind. This is the reason for the social retardation in Muslim societies. Muslim societies are not cohesive. They are not progressive. They are always behind others. The reason is because they do not follow the book. They do not follow the guidance of Allah. They do not follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Imams. And this is everywhere. This is not just in this specific country and not in the other country. This is in most Muslim countries, in all the traditions, be it Shia, Sunni, others. They follow their customs and norms and traditions. They do not follow what is authentic. They put their desires first. They do not put what God wants them to do first. An example of that, when you go to Ziyarah, be it the ziyarah in Medina al-Munawwar, ziyarah of the Prophet, the ziyarah of the Imams. And I bring this example because ziyarah, it's the symbol of spirituality. It is the symbol of getting closer to God, nearness to God. تقرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. It's the most sacred place. It is a process that's supposed to get you close to God. But in the ziyarah, what do you see? The Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. When you are in the presence of the Prophet, whether the Prophet is alive, sitting right in front of you, or his grave. This is also Hadratun Nabi. This is when you visit his grave, you are in his presence too, or the presence of any Imam, especially the infallible Imam, an Imam appointed by God, an Imam al-Ma'soom. Do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet. Your voice has to be moderate. Whether you read Quran, or dua, or ziyarah, or you do salawat, do not raise your voice. لا ترفعوا أصواتكم. What you see is exactly the opposite. The noisiest place is the Holy Shrine. People screaming, women screaming, children screaming. Where is the respect? How do we listen to the Quran? Is this the way we respect the Prophet and his family when we scream? This is khilaful adab. This is contrary to the manners. Even the dua, when you call upon God, do you have to scream? Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufiyah. The way we pray, it has to be tadarru' with submission. Tadarru' is submission. Tadarru', you feel and you live what you say. This is tadarru. Khufya, in a silent way, in an honorable way, in a discreet way. Tadarru'an wa khufya. The other thing is that when we go for ziyarah, the adab of the ziyarah, the manners, al-mashyu bi khudu', when you walk to the holy shrine, when you walk to the masjid, you have to walk with humility. You have to walk with remembrance of Allah. If you open the book, the adab of the ziyarah of Imam Hussein is to say 100 times, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, before reaching his shrine. And then you begin by saying, Allahu Akbar Kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila, alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada, wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. These are dhikr. How many people do the dhikr? How many people walk in humility and submission? And there are others. Even the zina, the ornaments that is there, is too much. We tend to think of the exterior, not the interior. When Allah speaks about places of worship, masajid, including Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including the grave of the Prophet and other imams, Allah says it should be simple places, reminds you of God. فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعْ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. The main objective of these houses of worship is to get close to God. Is God's remembrance, is to rehearse the name of God. وَيُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. This is the main purpose. Why do you go and visit? The reason you go and visit, to get inspired, to learn. The person who is buried here, be it the Prophet, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hussein, Imam al-Ridha, other imams, they are the symbol of what? The symbol of mysticism, the symbol of renouncing this life. They were not attached to this life. They are the symbol of staying away, renouncing the dunya, renouncing materialism. They don't require gold and silver. In their life, they stayed away from gold and silver. Amir al-Mu'mineen looks at gold and silver in his treasury and he says, Ya dunya ghurri ghayri. غُرِّي غَيْرِي أَطَّلَّقْتُكِ ثَلَاثًا لَا رَجْعَةَ لِي إِلَيْكِ. Go and deceive something else. All gold and silver and money and wealth. Don't deceive me. Deceive someone else. I have divorced you 3 times. There is no way you can come back to me. Ahlul Bayt, when you look at their tradition, Jibreel comes to the Prophet, he says, Ya Rasulallah, Al-Aliyu al-A'la yuqri'uka as-salam. He sends his greetings to you and he says, if you will, if you wish, I can turn all these mountains around Medina into gold and silver and you become the richest person on earth. Would you like this? Would you accept this offer? The Prophet says, وَبَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الْمَوْتِ, and after that I die? He says, of course, you die. He says, then what should I do? What shall I do with this gold and silver? Where shall I take it? So they were the symbol of asceticism, zuhd, asceticism, zuhd, renouncing the dunya. Today, we don't tend to think about these ideals and principles. We turn these mausoleums into museums, which is not good. I know some people don't like what I'm saying, but I have to speak the truth. I have to speak the truth. And I have to make God happy, not people. Too much dunya. This money could be spent on orphans, on needy, on the poor people, on improving the conditions of families in the same city, in the same country, in the same region. We cannot see spending billions of dollars on to build a shrine while in the same street people are begging, asking for food. Amir al-Mu'mineen does not accept that. Ali ibn Abi Talib hates to see this. Ali ibn Abi Talib himself, when they offered him the palace, if he happened to go to Kufa one day, ask for Qasr al-Imara. This is an ancient palace, one of the most majestic buildings in the whole world. قصر الإمارة. When he came as a caliph, they said to him, this should be your official residence in this palace. He said, جنبونيه. Keep it away from me. إنه قصر الخبال. It's the center, the palace of evil. I'm not going to live in this palace. He built himself a small home, which still exists today, the home of Imam Ali. He said, this is my home, this is my office, this is my residence. I have to be equal with the rest of the society. And he denied himself good food. Why? Because he said, maybe, perchance, لَعَلَّ فِي الْحِجَازِ أَوْ الْيَمَامَةِ مَنْ لَا طَمَعَ لَهُ فِي الْقُرْصِ وَلَا عَهْدَ لَهُ بِالشِّرَى. Maybe in my kingdom, in my jurisdiction, there are some people who cannot reach food. They don't have access to food. I'm going to deprive myself from food. This is justice. This is a just ruler. Today, we forget these principles. We claim that we follow Ahlul Bayt. We claim that we follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I remember when I used to go to Umrah and Hajj 40 years ago. We used to live in simple places around the shrine of the Prophet, Masjid al-Nabi, and in Mecca. Now you go, they are all seven-star hotels. Seven-star. And people are used to this. And people got spoiled. Now when they register, they ask, how is the hotel? If it is less than seven-star, no, I don't like this hamlet, this group. I'll go with someone else. Forgetting that we go there not for the seven-star hotel. No, not for the food. We go there for something which is not found here. It is found there. To get closer to the Prophet. To learn from him. To learn his sunnah. To learn his life, his legacy, his sacrifice, his generosity. When he did not leave any poor person in his community, he made sure that his community is well fed and he's the last one to eat. Though he's the messenger of God, he's the greatest person. To share his food, to share his clothing. We forgot about that. And we think we are doing Umrah, we are doing Hajj, and God is going to accept. We forgot these things. We have to go back and think with ourselves. Why do we go for the ziyarah? For what purpose? If the purpose is to get closer to God, في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع. These places, God has given permission. With the permission of God, it has to be raised. Raised what? How it is raised? Raised with values. Raised with the principles, with merits, with virtues. أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والأصال. I came from several European countries, and usually when I go to any country, I visit churches and synagogues. The first thing, before I go to any museum, I go to the cathedral, to the church, to them. Most of them, 99% of them are very majestic. In the building, when you go inside the building, they spent a fortune on decoration, on ornaments, on statues, on pictures, on everything. Do we want to do the same in Islam? There are huge buildings from outside. Decoration is capturing, breathtaking, but inside is empty. We should do exactly the opposite. Islam did not come to focus on the buildings. Islam came to focus on you, on the humans. He said, we put the humans first, not buildings. Go to this cathedral in Los Angeles. They spent millions of dollars building a cathedral. And it happened that I was during the inauguration, the opening of that cathedral, they invited me. They spent over $200 million on that cathedral. But go outside and see how many homeless people around that cathedral. They sleep in the street. Right now, go and see for yourself. Islam said, I'm not concerned about buildings, how tall, how wide, how majestic, how splendid. I am concerned about saving the lives, even if you save one life. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Saving the dignity of the people. Forget about buildings. The building that does not save people has no value. With no offense to the cathedral, no, I know the cardinal, I know the bishop, I know many of them, they are my friends. I'm saying we are doing the same. We are concerned about buildings, but not the humans. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه وأنعامائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصياء نبيك وخلفائه وأهله وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد شجرة النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومعدن العلم وأهل بيت الوحي وأهل بيت الوحي. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد الفلك الجارية في اللجج الغامرة يأمن من ركبها ويغرق من تركها المتقدم لهم مارق والمتأخر عنهم زاهق واللازم لهم لاحق. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد الكهف الحصين وغياث المضطر المستكين وملجأ الهاربين وعصمة المعتصمين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد صلاة كثيرة تكون لهم رضا ولحق محمد وآل محمد أداء وقضاء بحول منك وقوة يا رب العالمين. Today is the beginning of the month of Sha'ban. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, شهر شعبان شهري. This month has been attributed to me. وعنه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, he has said, من صام شعبان حبا لرسول الله. If you fast either the whole month or half of the month or 2 days or even 1 day of this month, the month of شعبان, as a love, as an expression of love and gratitude to the Prophet. حُبًّا لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَتَقَرُّبًا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Everything we do in this life should carry this title, قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ. We do that for the sake of God, for God's pleasure, for God's satisfaction. وَتَقَرُّبًا إِلَى اللَّهِ أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهِ. The result of this fasting, you offer a day or two or three of fasting, God is going to love you. أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهِ. وَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَى كَرَامَتِهِ. He is going to draw you closer to him. يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَأَوْجَبَ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. And Allah is going to write paradise, book paradise for him on the day of judgment, inshallah. And one of the a'mal that is highly recommended during the entire month from today until the last day of this month, al-istighfar, to seek repentance. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet, to say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah wa as'aluhu at-tawbah, astaghfirullah, I repent to God and I ask him forgiveness, as'aluhu at-tawbah, at least 70 times a day, 70 times a day. The other thing that is highly recommended is paying charity, paying sadaqah, and also dhikrullahi ta'ala. Always, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. The real richness, the real healing, the real medication that saves you from anxiety, from fear, from depression is dhikrullah. When you are with him, when you know that he is on your side, he's taking care of you, he's taking you under his wing. This is the real source of energy, the real source of optimism, and the real source of hope. ذكر الله تعالى. اذكر الله ذكرا كثيرا. Always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best dhikr during this month is to say, لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه مخلصين له الدين ولو كره المشركون. لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه مخلصين له الدين ولو كره المشركون. And there are du'as, my friends, plenty of du'as that had been narrated by the Prophet himself, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, and his family. And his family. Every day there is a dua. There is one dua for the entire month, and there is a dua for every day of the month during this month of Sha'ban. And one of them is the dua that begins, inshallah, you're going to listen to the dua between the two prayers. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, shajaratin nubuwah, wa mawdi' al-risalah, wa mukhtalaf al-malaika, wa ma'din al-ilm, وَأَحْلِ بَيْتِ الْوَحِي. And I want just to focus on two sentences in this dua. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وَأْمُرْ قَلْبِي بِطَاعَتِكَ. During this month, refurbish my heart. وَأْمُرْ from Imran. Imran is construction, refurbishing. Refurbish my heart بِطَاعَتِكَ, with your obedience. Give me the energy, give me the incentive, give me the power to worship you, to obey you, not to disobey you. وَأْمُرْ قَلْبِي بِطَاعَتِكَ. If you look for the healthy heart, strong heart, heart that is does not care about what happens, the heart that is focused, the heart that does not lose concentration and focus, then it has to be constructed and refurbished with obedience to Allah. That is the best energy for the heart, the best food for the heart. وَعْمُرْ قَلْبِي بِطَاعَتِكَ. عُمْرَانِ الْقُلُوبِ. The second, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي بِمَعْصِيَتِكَ. Do not allow me to be disgraced. خِزِي. خِزِي is disgrace, with your disobedience. Sometimes we run after the desire, thinking that this desire is going, if I fulfill this desire, is going to bring me relief and joy and happiness. But once you commit this desire, this vice, then you feel the disappointment. You feel the remorse. You say, why didn't I control myself? وَلَا تُخْزِنِي بِمَعْصِيَتِكَ. The main outcome of disobedience is خِزِي. Disgrace and disappointment. So ask Allah not to disappoint you, not to disgrace you through committing sins in this month. And the third one is very beautiful in this month. وَارْزُقْنِي مُوَاسَاةَ مَنْ قَتَّرْتَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ رِزْقِكَ بِمَا وَسَّعْتَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ. Oh Allah, give me this chance. I reach out to those that you decided to narrow their income. You decided. قَتَّرْتَ. You decided, for some reasons, that their income should be narrowed. While you expanded my income, so I can stand with them in solidarity, muasat, in this month. Think about others. Think about those who don't have. Think about those who have children and they can't afford. Think about someone who's worried about his rent. You have your own rent, you have your own mortgage, but there is someone who's worried about his or her rent, or medication, or food, or car payment, or this or that. Think about them. Reach out to them during this month. Ask Allah to enable you. This invitation and this tawfiq has to come from Him. Has to come from Him. Allah will cast in your heart, in your mind, that you must stand with this and that, with those who are needy. Allah will cast this thought in your mind. The invitation comes from Him. وَارْزُقْنِي مُوَاسَاةَ مَنْ قَتَّرْتَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ رِزْقِكَ بِمَا وَسَّعْتَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ. You have given me, alhamdulillah, I have extra. I can take care of my family and I can afford some extra. So let me not waste this extra in somewhere else. Let me invest this extra money in bringing hope and joy and relief and salvation to the people. Inshallah, this month is a month of blessing on all of you, your families. Remember, in less than 30 days from now, we're going to receive another guest, another honorable guest, and that is the month of Ramadan. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready spiritually, psychologically, physically, socially. Our homes, our offices, our mosques have to be ready to receive the grand month of forgiveness and blessing and rahmah and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tomorrow inshallah we are celebrating at 8 p.m. with the salat inshallah, the milad, the birthday, the occasion of the birthday of the third imam, al-imam Abu Abdullah al-Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. And inshallah on May 13th, which is Saturday, we're going to celebrate the mid Sha'ban, inshallah, the milad of the 12th Imam, al-Imam al-Hujjah ibn al-Hasan, alayhi salatu wassalam, inshallah. Allahumma akhfir lil-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat, wal-muslimin wal-muslimat, al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat, tabi'in lahumma baynana wa baynahum bil-khayrat, innaka mujibu al-da'awat. My friends, many people asked me last night and today to pray for them. They have some people who are in the hospital. Some